everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program. Welcome. It is Monday, May 6, 2024. Hope everybody had a great Cinco de Mayo weekend. We're in our 14th year already with this radio show and our 36th year in television and radio in Tucson. We're in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, part of the growing presence of Bustos Media here in Tucson. We have five radio stations now under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Also the place for all of the tremendous amount of content, really every show we've done over the last 13 plus years is there at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Time for our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. That means if you don't want to put it, have Moe and the team will frame it for you, your artwork, but you just don't want to get up on the ladder perhaps and put it up on the wall yourself. Moe will make a house call, gladly. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com. Rafael Barcelo Durazo was appointed Consul of Mexico in Tucson. He took office August 1st, 2020. Previously, he served as Deputy Director General for International Policy on Human Rights at the Mexican Embassy, Mexican Ministry of Foreign Affairs. He is a career diplomat in the Mexican Foreign Service since 2010. He also served as a press and cultural attaché at the Embassy of Mexico in Brazil and political affairs and human rights attaché at the Embassy of Mexico in San Jose, Costa Rica, also performing as Mexican liaison officer at the Inter-American Human Rights Court. He was also a consultant at the Mexican Supreme Court of Justice. It's a pleasure to welcome the consul back to our Monday one-on-one program. Thank you, Mr. Consul, for coming in.
Thank you, Bill. I'm very, very happy, and I'm thankful for the invitation and happy to be here and have this conversation.
Well, it was quite a weekend for me, my 52nd wedding anniversary, Cinco de Mayo. It is a big holiday in the United States. I'm wondering, in Mexico, well, first of all, what does the day commemorate, and is it a big deal in Mexico?
Well, contrary to the popular opinion in the U.S., it's not a big deal in Mexico. It is widely celebrated only in the state of Puebla. Because I think some American citizens think of Cinco de Mayo as our 4th of July, which is
Independence
not.
Day.
Yes, because Independence Day is celebrated on September the 15th, and in Tucson we celebrate with a beautiful Tucson Symphony Orchestra concert. But actually, Cinco de Mayo was the battle that the Mexican army had with the French army, which was the most powerful army in the world, and it was part of a intent of France of having a puppet state in the Americas, particularly to impose a monarchy in Mexico. I think it is particularly important and symbolic because after that, even if the war prolonged itself for a while, that was a good manifestation that the Mexicans didn't want a monarchy. They wanted a republic, and as most of the countries in the Americas did. And it was particularly important for Mexican Americans because the U.S. And some members of Mexican American communities back then, by the mid 19th century, they supported the Mexican forces. And that's why it was so important for Mexican Americans to celebrate the union of Mexico and the U.S. as a project that it was a republican in the sense of republic instead of a monarchy. And that's why it became like a emblematic day also for activists, Mexican-American activists that say that we don't want to be treated differently either in Mexico or in the U.S. We are all the same and we have to fight for those rights.
And the mariachi conference also ended this weekend after another very successful conference. Mariachi music has become a worldwide phenomenon, hasn't it?
Absolutely, and it was recognized as a World Heritage part of the culture of all the humankind, and this is the registration that the UNESCO, the United Nations Education, Science, and Culture Organization does. And I think it is very important for Mexican, it is very important for Mexican-Americans, but also in so many other countries, particularly in the Americas, it is celebrated as a festive music to commemorate weddings, baptisms, quinceañeras, and even funerals, of course.
Well, the Mexican election is coming up on early June, June 2nd, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Later in this program, we'll be talking with my friend Keith Rosenblum, who follows Mexican politics, and they'll be telling us about how the race is going. But it's very interesting because we do have the two leading candidates, two women. So it will be the first time that a woman is elected the president of Mexico or the United States, for that matter. Canada had a prime minister for a brief period of time for about 4 months. But tell us a little bit about Mexican nationals voting here in Arizona. How does that work?
Well, thank you so much for the question, because actually Mexico has made a long way to guarantee Mexicans that are living abroad to actually be able to participate in the electoral process in Mexico. And so the voting has three modalities. You have, of course, to register that, like you do in the United States. And you can select voting by email or voting electronically from your computer, which is, I think, fantastic.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yes. And for the first time, Bill, that's very important. For the first time this year, we were going to have the opportunity to have in-person votations in some consulates and in some embassies, not everywhere. It is kind of a pilot program to do it. And in Arizona, importantly, for those who are listening today and are Mexican or of Mexican origin, is that you could vote if you have your electoral credential to do so in Phoenix, in the Phoenix consulate. We will have in total 23 consulates and some embassies, as I mentioned, for instance, in Spain or in France, where we also have a sizable population of Mexican origin. They will be able to vote, and also in some in Canada and in the United States. But particularly for those who are listening from Arizona, on the June the 2nd, in the Mexican General Consulate in Phoenix, there is going to be the opportunity to vote in person, even for those who didn't register on time.
That's very interesting. So in Mexico, you can vote electronically?
No, that's only for the people who lives abroad.
All right.
I would say that we've been pampered, the Mexicans living abroad, because also you cannot vote by mail in Mexico.
Yes.
All the voters in Mexico need to go to the polling stations.
Interesting.
This is an effort to try to make easier for those who are living abroad, who doesn't have it easy actually voting. It's like to have a modality that serves well, and it provides all the certainties that their vote is going to remain secret, and their vote is going to be counted, and they are going to be participating in our electoral process.
Rafael Barcelo de Raso is the consul of Mexico here in Tucson, and he is our Monday one-on-one guest, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll have more questions for the consul after we take our first break. And we'll begin our first break talking about my favorite bakery in town. And I guess I'm not alone in loving Mona's, because Tucson Lifestyle Magazine, the current issue, just named Mona's Danish Bakery northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise as Tucson's favorite bakery. So a lot to celebrate up at, for Steve and the owner and the team up there. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. They do take Monday off, well-deserved, after a big weekend. They'll be open tomorrow. Doors open at 6:30. So it's Tuesday through Sunday at Mona's Danish Bakery. And by the way, you can have now an alcoholic beverage if you choose at lunch, or actually you could have one at breakfast, commonly referred to as a mimosa, orange juice and champagne. We'll be right back with Mr. Consul right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located right over there by Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge, and they have a well-liked business that's moved in there just about two doors away from Moe. It's Monsoon Chocolate. So another reason to stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe and the team presenting our Monday one-on-one, and our one-on-one guest, we welcome back to the show, Rafael Barcelo Durazo, who is the consul of Mexico here in Tucson. And if you're wondering, listeners, how many consuls are there? Well, there's 53 Mexican consuls now in the United States, five of them here in Arizona. And Mr. Consul, I'm sure a lot of your time is taken up with migration issues, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
migration is by definition an international topic. It's like, but most of the people in each country, the U.S. is no exception, tend to think of migration started only when people show up in their borders, but migration starts when people start moving from their countries of origin. So Mexico, it's a country of origin, a country of destination for migrants, a country of transit, and a country of return of migrants. Mm-hmm. So we are particularly sensitive to the topic. And here, working in the border, in the very close to the U.S.-Mexico border, of course, it's something that we are working on a daily basis, particularly with the agents of the Border Patrol or sometimes with the other agencies of the Homeland Department, Homeland Security Department, like CBP or ICE. So yes, it's a very important topic, particularly for those working on the southwest U.S. border.
What about migrant who would be in need? You would get a call sometimes from families. Explain that, how that works to our listeners.
Absolutely. In Tucson, actually, we operate a nationwide program that is a phone line of assistance to people that have some doubts regarding migratory status or whatever it might be. But in that phone line called SIAM, Center of Information and Assistance to Mexicans, we actually receive phone calls of people that are stranded in their failed attempt to cross the border, particularly those who do it in between ports of entry.
So they could be in distress in the desert, and this is a life and death situation for these people.
Absolutely. And the priority there, Bill, it is the humanitarian part of it, because we can never forget when we're talking about migration that we're talking about human beings.
Yes.
That's the most important thing to have into consideration. You can have your ideas about how you can regulate your borders, and that's fine, but the most important thing to know is that you will never stop talking about people. And when we have someone in distress, we work a program with the Border Patrol called Missing Migrant Program that actually it's going to rescue people who are stranded, and of course the migratory consequences will be applied to them, but the most important thing in that specific point
is to save a life.
To save a life, a sacred human life. And we are very happy to say that in since the existence of this program, with SIAM and Border Patrol working together, we have been able to save more than 2,000 people.
Wonderful.
Since 2017
Wonderful.
That we started this, 2,000 people were saved, and they are alive because of the prompt and efficient response that Mexican authorities in collaboration with U.S. authorities can give to those people.
Well, I'm glad you were able to articulate that. That's kind of the first I have heard of this program, and saved a lot of lives. It sounds like 2,000 lives. Tell me about some of the day-to-day migration issues that you deal with Mexican nationals who are in Tucson, and some of the questions that they have that you deal with.
Yes, first of all, it's like there are a few pathways for the people who came here, perhaps as tourists, and they overstay their visas and they start working, so they don't have a migratory status to be in the United States. But for us, it is very important to refer them to a professional immigration attorney or some organizations that can actually provide to them which are the options, the family reunification options that they might have. Sometimes, particularly for those who were crimes or who were victims of a crime, there might be some of migratory reliefs, so the crime can be prosecuted. So it is very important to us to receive people and to offer them objective and accurate information regarding how they could manage their migratory status. So we worked together with Catholic Services, with Chicanos por la Causa organization, with so many immigration attorneys that actually can offer that legal assistance. And that's something that we do on a daily basis here in Tucson, too.
I think no matter where Americans are on this issue about the border, pretty much everybody agrees, Mr. Consul, the system's broken. And I'm just wondering, from the Mexican government point of view, how do you view this situation in the United States, this migratory situation?
Yes, we think there are so many things that need to be resolved, like, but fundamentally by the legislation, because it is a matter that when you try to understand how a family can address their migratory situations, and you have to understand that most of these families are mixed families. So you have U.S. citizens in those families, mm-hmm. you have legal permanent residents in those families, but you have also family members with no migratory status. So it is quite painful for some of them when the system only offers as an alternative, like being splitting ways and being separate. So yes, there are absolutely a need in our community to have a system that works better, because very important to say is, like, the migrants who normally come here is because they actually have a demand for work. It's not that they come here to getting taxpayers' money. That doesn't exist. They don't get taxpayers' money, actually. They are here working. And the thing is, like, the U.S. economy is thriving because they've had the opportunity to attract migrants from all the corners of the planet. And I think that's fantastic about the U.S. But at the same time, you have that economy demanding jobs, but you don't have a system that actually offers regular pathways to be in the U.S., and that will create a lot of stranded families, like, in the system, totally confused about mm-hmm. how they can solve their situation.
Mm-hmm. On a brighter note, coming up on May 18th, there's quite the, I guess you would call it, it's almost like in Mexico, that's kind of a national wellness sports day. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We are calling it Bi-National Week on Sports.
Okay.
Yes, it's there's a lot of all the consulates in the U.S. and also a lot of organizations in Mexico on that specific week are going to have a lot of physical activation activities, wellness, as you're mentioning it. Mm-hmm. But here in Tucson, we are going to have, like, the national closure journey for that week, and that's going to be in Kino Sports Complex in the South Complex, which you have the entrance through Tournament Way, not on the Ajo Way, but the Tournament Way. We are inviting everyone who's listening who wants to see some soccer tournament games or Lucha Libre exhibition that we're having, yoga classes, Zumba classes, tug of war or Zach competitions. The idea is, like, to come together, to activate, to get up a little bit of our chairs and our cell phones and go to meet new people and to have some sports, because it's wonderful. It's like Tucson is a beautiful community, and when you have that community, like, activated, it's much healthier way of living our life, and that's an invitation, that's an open invitation to form community and to activate ourselves and to have a healthier lifestyle.
And for our listeners, where is the consul office located here in Tucson?
Yes, we are located very centrally, very close to Reed Park. Mm-hmm. We are on the 3915 East Boulevard, Broadway Boulevard, sorry. That will be the corner of Broadway and Alvernon. So we are there, and we have several cultural activities. We have a gallery there. Right now we have a beautiful exhibition of Tucson photographer Luis Carlos Bernal. He passed away.
Oh, like, I remember his. Yes, I remember when he was alive and the wonderful work he did.
He is fantastic. And we have this exhibition called Images and Conversation, Mexican Americans Recalling Their Southwestern Part. This is a free activity Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. from to 5 p.m. We'll be more than happy to receive anyone who wants to see not only the beautiful pictures of all Tucsonans, but also their testimonials, because you will be able to read also what the people that are on the portraits were telling about how was going to the Santa Cruz River for the San John celebrities.
St. John's Day, in late June, which kind of signals or kind of is emblematic of the start of what we call the monsoon.
Exactly. It's so beautiful, like finding out the where some of the traditions that we still have in Tucson coming from, and this beautiful presence of Mexican Americans since this was part of Mexico and afterwards when it was acquired by the United States. So this is a beautiful celebration of Tucson, and we'll be more than happy to receive anyone who wants to come to the consulate. It's not only for Mexican nationals or people of Mexican origin. Everybody is welcome to our consulate.
And I think the city, the whole designation, City of Gastronomy, the United Nations designation for Tucson and our cultural and our food, a lot of that is centerpiece is around Mexico.
Absolutely. I'm very proud to be, I feel part of this community now, Bill, if you allow me. Mm-hmm. And it is fantastic feeling that we can celebrate that beautiful Hispanic and Mexican-American heritage that we have everywhere, the beautiful architecture in the Barrios Viejos in Tucson, the gastronomy, and particularly the people.
Mr. Consul, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to see you.
It is my absolute pleasure, and thank you for this space and for this warm and beautiful conversation.
Thank you. Our Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned since 1985. They're located conveniently midtown over at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right by Copenhagen, and their website, they've revamped. It looks really good. They're doing e-commerce on the website, moesgallery.com. Coming up next, our monthly border report with Keith Rosenblum, who knows so much about these borderlands, and he'll give us an update on how the presidential election is going in Mexico. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Rafael Barcelo de Rosso, who is the consul of Mexico. He was our Monday one-on-one guest today, and we thank him for coming in this portion of our program. Of course, we're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, and this portion of the program presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Perfect weather for doing some gardening. Hey, I will take 80 degrees in May, early May, any day of the week. It just goes along with the winter. I think my 36 years here, the best weather. The spring has been actually delightful. Just perfect time of year to put some spring color in your garden. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business, zocalovillage.com. Our live line for our telephone interview is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, keeping with our Mexico theme today. It's time for our monthly border report, hosted by longtime border observer Keith Rosenblum, whose resume includes border reporting for both the Arizona Daily Star and the Arizona Republic. He's a former congressional aide to the late United States Representative Jim Colby. Jim represented Southern Arizona for 22 years. Keith, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing very well, and I'm glad always to follow in the footsteps of a far greater Mexico knowledgeable soul than Rafael Barcelo. And so I'll have to temper my comments to jive with his.
Wow, he is so knowledgeable. I mean, we began talking a little bit about Cinco de Mayo. We talked about mariachi, history.
He's an awesome he is an awesome intellect, and that's why I don't want to follow in his footsteps ever again.
Okay.
It just makes for a horrible contrast, and then I got to live with myself after that. What a downer.
Yeah, well, we did touch a little bit on the elections. I was saving most of it for you, but he did point out that for the first time there is this test project at the consuls, and there are 53 Mexican consuls in the United States. The main one, the largest, is up in Phoenix, and that will be the only one in Arizona where Mexican nationals can vote for in the presidential election, which is coming up June 2nd. So this is a test program for that, and we'll see how that goes. They may expand that.
The whole idea of voting abroad is such an interesting concept. I think there was a long time where countries thought that, okay, if you leave us, end of the end of your suffrage, bye. But the populations now that vote abroad are huge. And when you have a huge diaspora, Mexico having the largest, but I'm not sure the largest on a percentage basis, then you actually do have numbers that can swing an election. So, you know, the Italians, I don't know what other societies give the right to vote. I know that Israelis do. I think the Greeks did. One time I had to learn all about electoral processes worldwide, but the cost, Mexico spends a huge amount for every vote. Mm-hmm. That is to say, their electoral commission to verify people's ID, and there's different rules that apply to Mexicans who are in the U.S. A lot of them cannot vote in their local elections. They're just voting in a presidential one because they've established that they have a right to vote as Mexicans, but they don't have a domicile within Mexico. So if you're from Sonora, ostensibly you would be elected, you know, there's no governor race right now, but there are congressional races and mayoral races. And so if you establish that you actually are a Sonoran living in the U.S., you would then have the right to vote presidential, Senate, you know, Cámara de Diputados, which is their House of Representatives, and the local elections. But I don't know. I would have asked Rafael myself how many of his voters in the U.S. or how many Mexican voters are only in the presidential and the national realm, and how many actually are voting in local elections, even though they're present in the U.S.
I did learn from the consul. I did not know about the early voting or vote by mail. Apparently, they do not have that in Mexico, correct?
Correct, but they are going to online. They don't have it yet, unless Rafael told you something other. It's my understanding that they're looking at that, and there's ways of verifying and having an electronic signature. Same, obviously, if you can use your credit card and make purchases online and have a verification system that's almost fail-proof, then you can certainly do it with a vote as well. And I just don't know where they stand right now. But as in the U.S., people are always dubious. They're always figuring, you know, look what happened in the U.S. We don't even have the third world. We supposedly have the third world hint to it. And we have weirdos like Sidney Powell and the president and Rudy Giuliani saying that Dominion voting machines have been algorithmed in Venezuela to accept some kind of Chinese influence. That's weird stuff.
Yeah.
And yet that's what we had to deal with. Imagine Mexico, where people are already, if we're jaundiced or cynical about our government, let me introduce you to Mexicans.
Yeah, and I did ask him about the electronic, because at first I misunderstood that. I thought he was saying that they are voting now electronically in Mexico. He said no, just it's a test program for folks out of the country who are voting that way to see how that works. So, I mean, that may be the way they're going for a total election to be held electronically.
Well, I'm glad, and that's the way we should be going, but for the fact that people don't have faith. In other words, this is one of those cases where technology outdistances or outruns people's ability to or willingness to believe it. And so, you know, look at, we have Kerry Lake, and we have, what's the guy's name, Hamadon, this guy's saying, we want to have every vote counted manually. That would only take years. I mean, by the time you got around to counting those votes,
even
with any protest, the 4-year term will be over for those
people. Let's again, and we touched a little bit on this with the consul. We have Mexico will become the first country in North America, basically, that will elect a woman. And I say basically, her name was Kim Campbell, and she served for about 5 months in Canada as the prime minister. But I don't think that was an election. I think she was filling a term for someone, but I could be wrong. But anyway, it will be the first time in the United States or Mexico for sure that we have a woman president.
Yeah, I mean, I wish that it was a woman president who inspired more faith or more confidence, at least from the Keith standpoint of the people that I know. It is going to be a woman. It'll be either Claudia Sheinbaum or Xochitl Galvez, but in my book, and the very cynical or critical Keith book, it doesn't matter. They're both bones that are being tossed to the Mexican public. If you watch the debates, I haven't watched both of them, but I've caught the highlights. I watched much of the first one and the highlights of the second, and they're just drab exercises in "you're corrupt," "you're the narco candidata." They're all cliche and gross. And it makes me, ours aren't much better. They become personal attacks. You don't know where the country's going to go or what they're really proposing. And I found the level of dialogue to be just as banal as most of President López Obrador's press conferences, which do continue, by the way. He's at, what is there, about 1,400. But At least he can't, because of the campaign season being in effect, he's not allowed, supposedly he's not allowed to be bringing up campaign issues. He does it anyway. He sneaks them in, and there's nothing punitive when he does it. But he's not supposed to be commenting on the election. And, of course, his choice is Claudia Sheinbaum, the former governor of Ciudad de Mexico, the city of Mexico. And that's, she is carrying his baton in this election. But as I say, yes, it's great that there's going to be a woman. No, it's not great that it's going to be either one of them. I don't think either one of them shines.
All right. Well, I want to hear about what the latest is on the big issue after we take a break. Keith Rosenblum talking about the Mexican election coming up June 2nd. It's our monthly border report. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Makes a great getaway, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson to a pretty area of the Land of Enchantment, Southwest New Mexico. Start your planning by visiting Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org, O-R-G. You'll be tempted by the many outdoor activities, great places to stay, and some wonderful places that have been around forever, it seems, in historic Silver City. Some great places to dine, offering New Mexican cuisine, where the question always seems to come up, would you prefer red or green? And I think I would take green. Well, today I'd take green anyway. All right, let's go back to part two of the Border Report with Keith Rosenblum. Keith, I'm wondering if what has become really a highly publicized story about these surfers, three bodies found with gunshot wounds near Ensenada. It's a huge story, especially in California, but it's a big story in the United States. I was watching a clip from Fox News yesterday. They had a former FBI agent on, and she, in effect, was saying, don't go to Mexico. I mean, just some of your thoughts. I think I know what your thoughts are going to be, but I'm wondering, is security an issue among the two women? Is it coming up is it on the horizon or on the radar anyway?
I share the same instinctive reaction, but hold off. In other words, hold off on any investigation until the details come out. But is it spooky? It absolutely is spooky. And in some ways, it could be the culmination or kind of the roosting, is that the term, of a policy right now that is laissez-faire, that most crimes against Mexicans right now, in particular those that are tied to the drug war, are not solved, and they're not investigated. They're not investigated because Mexico lost in the replacement of its police force from Federal de Caminos, which is the highway patrol, to a lot of the state police forces, to the municipal police forces. A lot of the funding has gone to what's called the Guardia Nacional, which is a national police force, and is made up of largely of soldiers, of military people. And we've talked about this before, and I saw coming a disconnect between the civil Mexican society and the law enforcement. Law enforcement imagine this. Let's go backwards. Let's say that when Tucson police pulled you over, it was everybody in the Tucson police force had a Southern accent and came from Arkansas or Georgia or had a military background. You'd say, whoa, this is not the police force that I want to be representing my city. And when you had an accident or when there was a crime of property or a crime against, a physical crime, a violent crime, you would want to know that it was going to be investigated. And what's happened during the last 6 years is Mexico has created this national police force that appears everywhere, but it does almost nothing in the way of preventing crime or action. It's there almost for show. And so we don't have a clue yet as to what happened to the three that were found dead. If they're innocent and it turns out that there's nothing more to show, because there have been a lot of Americans who were casualties of the drug war and of cartel movements. Most of them are in the game. This happened to have U.S. citizenship. You can't get all bent out of shape because Americans were killed in Mexico while they're, involved in organized crime.
Mm-hmm.
However, if this turns out to be, number one, the damage is already done, and it's going to continue to be done because this is an area now, these things don't happen in Cancun, Tulum, Vallarta. They really don't even happen in Acapulco. There's an unspoken truce or taboo against touching Americans or foreigners, not just Americans, but foreigners. But Baja, this is highway tourism. These are people that cross over at Tijuana, Mexicali, Tecate, going off to San Felipe on the Baja Peninsula. This is an area where it's like going to Peñasco. It's the California equivalent of going to Rocky Point.
Yes.
Or to San Carlos.
Yes.
Or to Kino. It is a huge deal.
Yeah.
When it turns out that they're innocent, but right now it's already had the spooking value anyhow. So does it give me the willies, and does it make me think twice about going to a place? It sure does. And it's not because it's unavoidable, Bill. It actually could be if Mexico actually was doing the same kind of homework that we do in the U.S. in terms of having certain surveillance, sometimes having cameras, having police that people trust at a local level, then maybe it could have been avoided. Again, we don't know right now, but that story makes me shiver far more than, you know, than bodies being thrown out of a car or along the highway in Caborca, for example, or Santana. Those are clearly internecine. Those are in-family events in the drug war. This one appears not to be. It appears not to be. And so this one gives me all sorts of pause. And if I were the Mexicans, I would take this as a real critical wake-up call.
Yeah.
Like, this will kill your tourism industry real fast.
Yes, yes. We are getting some more details about this. Apparently, it was a highway robbery. There was two Australians and their American friend. The robbery was all about taking the tires, supposedly, from their vehicle, and the three men resisted, and that's when they were shot. That's some of the reporting today, anyway.
Yeah,
Keith.
I don't know. I would even there be reluctant so far. Yeah, you know, who's the source for that?
Who knows?
We learned with Gaza, I'm not sure we needed the lesson, or Gaza or Ukraine. You know, super careful.
We don't know. We don't really know.
Could be more innocent than that. I'm not going to bat for anybody.
No.
I'm just saying that, it could be something a lot more vicious or pernicious, or it could be something, you know, we don't know yet. But again, the Mexicans had better be in damage control right away, because if I'm somewhere in California, I got to choose between driving down Baja. Now, this never seems to affect aviation tourism, because that continues to be sacred. But there's so much that's gone on at the highway level.
Mm-hmm.
This is a genuinely, you know, disturbing event either way. Nobody, if you're being held up or whatever the circumstances are, it's just as grave no matter what. And a terrible portent.
So how
is what it appears to be.
So how does this play, or does it, in the presidential election? Is it an issue?
No. Mm-mm. No, because number one, this for the Mexicans, this is something that is, you know, if you've lost during 6 years, 200,000 dead, is that right? Yeah, I think 200,000 is the figure. And then you become inured. That's the best way. Do we care as Americans, do we distinguish between 10,000 dead in Gaza and 30,000 dead in Gaza?
Mm-hmm.
The Mexicans are inured, as is the world, to this kind of thing. And so, especially, it's not a high profile. It's important and it's a regional story, but the Mexicans just see things, you know, for the most part, if you want to be really cynical about it, the numbers of voters in Baja are nothing.
Yes.
In Mexico City, it's not an event. Now, maybe if it had been somebody famous, maybe if it had been something really that jumped off. But these are just tourists. I hate to say it that way because it sounds so insensitive, and I'm not that way, but I'm saying that the way it sounds.
Yeah.
No, it will not affect an election at all. It won't likely affect, because this is pan del día. This is the daily bread of what's going on in the country right now. That's why the country has to declare it's either going to make peace with the cartels and come up with some kind of arrangement similar to what Colombia did.
Yep.
Or it's going to have essentially a bit of a civil war going on.
Yeah, I touched on that a little bit with you, the Colombia model, with you the last on your last report.
And I promised to research it and didn't keep my promise.
Why don't we touch on it in June, right before the election?
That would be a great idea, and I will be prepared.
Okay. Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure. Thank you, Keith. Any final thoughts?
Not really, except for that everybody wants to be paying very close attention to the elections. I wish I'd heard whatever Rafael said. I think that it's important, not because we're going to, because either president, the way things are, is going to make much of a difference, but I think that whatever the Mexican Congress comes up with when this president comes in terms of deciding, is going to make a difference in so many different parts of our lives, in the business part of it with the economy and a strong peso, with what trade laws will be enforced, with what we're going to do crime-wise. There's so many issues that anybody in any walk of life in the U.S. should be paying attention to. Just be tuning in, because there's so many different issues that come back and have some relevance in everyone's life.
Well, we'll know hopefully about the winner on the 2nd of June, because you're with us on Monday the 3rd. So we'll have a lot to talk about. Thanks, Keith.
You bet.
All right, Keith Rosenblum with our monthly border report. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. Off and running here in May. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.